Bom dia, boa tarde. Welcome to another episode of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. I'm your guest host, John Neves, back here again to talk about my favorite subject, your favorite subject, and that is, of course, Portuguese soccer, Portuguese football, whatever word you use in your part of the world. Episode 204, first episode of 2024. And what were we doing a year ago today in 2023? Well, last year at this time in Lisbon, people were getting ready for Roberto Martinez to arrive in Lisbon to be officially introduced as Portugal manager to start 2023. And we also had some very interesting results, not for the best in Liga, with two of the big three. We saw Sporting go to Madeira, lose 1-0. We saw Porto, despite a man advantage, playing to a 0-0 draw with Casapia, and at that time that enabled Benfica to continue to consolidate their lead in first place. And we also saw Vlaco Dimos, remember him, who eventually left in the summer. He was also getting ready to tie Michel Pridome for most matches as a goalkeeper, a foreign goalkeeper for Benfica, and he was getting ready to do this last time at this year. And then, of course, we still had also a lot of the swirling controversy and questions regarding Enzo Fernandez and Chelsea. But that's where we were a year ago today to start 2023. And welcome to 2024. And welcome to episode 204 of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. A lot to talk about here. Of course, week 16 of the first and second division. And we got some, I got to tell you, we have some great, great matches coming up this weekend. We also have the Taça de Portugal, and we've got two big matches with that coming up in the middle of the week. Women's football resumes this weekend, so I'll talk about that. Of course, I'll also do my Big Four report, my Player Abroad report. And guess which team in Portugal, my favorite club in the fifth tier, guess which team has decided now, not only are they leading by, well, they were leading by 5 points, now they're leading by 7 points, thanks to a terrific result this past weekend. I'll tell you all about it. And then, of course, I'll end it like I usually do with the mailbag. But let's talk first off about Liga Betclic. Match day 16, it gets going the day I drop this episode on Friday. Two of the big three will be in action because they're going to be playing midweek, of course, for Taça de Portugal. But Sporting will kick it off against Estoril Praia. That is, in my opinion, one of the two best matches of match day 16. Of course, Estoril has been brilliant under Vasco Seabra. They've already beaten Porto twice, once in the League Cup, once in Liga Play. Sporting, as you know, is in first place. Everything is going right for them. And Sporting right now is going to be at home against Estoril, and that will kick off the action on Friday. And then we're going to have the derby up in Porto, and that's Boa Vista. Boa Vista struggling. One win, one draw, and 8 losses in their last 10 Liga matches. Of course, you know they're having financial issues. They changed their manager, Petit, and they are going to be playing Porto in the derby. Porto comes into this match, has pretty much dominated Boa Vista and somewhat in the last 10 years when you look at all the matches they've played. But this is a match that's going to fill up the Bessa. It's on Friday night, 20:45. Not a lot of people are happy with that time, but it is what it is to accommodate television. And so you have on Friday, Sporting, Estoril Praia, Boa Vista, Porto. Then you've got 4 matches on Saturday. To me, the best match, and one of the best, well, let me just say, there's 3 good matches this week, but in my opinion, the second best match after Sporting Estoril is Arouca. Ever since Daniel Souza took over as manager, I told you about that last week. They have been absolutely brilliant. And now they're going to host Benfica, which, as you know, has been a little inconsistent. This is not the type of Benfica match that they wanted to go up north to play. But much like Sporting, Benfica is going to be playing a team like Arouca and Estoril, who, ever since they've changed managers, have been one of the better teams in the last 10 matches in the Liga. So that is going to be really attractive. But the really attractive match also this weekend that deserves a lot of respect and mention, of course, is going to be the Minho Derby with Braga at home to Vitória Guimarães. One of the newspapers this week spoke to both teams, and they were talking about how the players say, look, if there's one match you do not lose when you play for a Vitória Guimarães or you play for Braga, is you do not lose to your rival, which is essentially Vitória, or if you're Vitória, your rival is Braga. And that's the one match you do not lose. And that's going to be the match that will be taking place, the late match on Saturday night at 20:30 in the Pedreira, Braga taking on Vitória Guimarães. So the first 2 days of the Liga match day 16, Sporting Estoril, Arouca Benfica, Braga, Vitória Guimarães. These are fantastic matches. On Sunday, you've only got two matches, which is, you know, kind of unusual. Usually you have more. But again, that's because we got Taça de Portugal in the middle of the week. You got Rio Ave, who's going to be getting Tenlengo from Sporting on loan. They're going to be home against Portimonense. And then you have Famalicão, Fama, which has been sitting pretty good in seventh place, taking on the last place team with the worst defense in the league, Chaves. And that'll be the last match that'll be played on Sunday. And then the match day 16th will come to a close. Moreirense sitting in sixth place, having a fantastic season. They are going to be home against Gazapia, which has kind of dropped a little bit the last 2 months, especially having to, of course, be one of those clubs that have had to change managers. So this is a great week simply because sometimes you have maybe one good match, maybe you have two good matches. But I think this week you really have three matches if you want to pay attention to. It's going to be really Sporting Estoril, Arouca Benfica, and Braga Vitória Guimarães. I don't have a lot of hope for Boavista Porto simply because Boavista is just really struggling. Porto, of course, is playing to stay in the top three. And, of course, right now the Liga standings, Sporting with 37 points, Benfica with 36, and Futebol Clube do Porto with 34. Fourth place is Braga with 32. And right behind them, their weekend opponent in the Minho Derby, Vitória Guimarães, in fifth place with 29 points. So we got a lot of good stuff happening when we start talking about the first division. Second, well, let me just say that next week, in the middle of the week, starting on Tuesday, we will have the Taça de Portugal, the Portuguese Cup, the round of 16. And it gets going. And by the way, right off the bat on Tuesday, the 9th of January, we have two terrific matches. Sporting at home against Tundela. Sporting already beat Tundela about 2 weeks ago in the League Cup. And now Tundela has to go to play Sporting. But I think Sporting should have this in control. But really, the very interesting match, in my opinion, is, of course, Estoril Praia against Porto. Estoril has already beaten Porto twice. Porto, a lot of people are not happy. They think they should be playing better. But now they've got to go back to a team that, for some reason, the last two matches with Vasco Seabra as manager, has managed to have their number. And that'll be the match. And that match, by the way, Estoril Praia FC Porto, will be a match shown on RTP International. So if you are in your country, depending on where you are, and they are not showing the Taça de Portugal in your country, which, by the way, it happens a lot, you could watch it on RTP International. And if you don't get it via the television, check RTP's website to see if you could catch it via there. Wednesday, we have basically four matches. Marítimo against 2nd Division Leiria. Gil Vicente against 3rd Division Amarante, one of the smaller teams left in this competition. Then we have Vizela against Arouca. And then Benfica Braga. That's probably, you know, I talked Estoril Porto is the first big match. The second big one, and a very good one, is Benfica Braga. So essentially, one of the top four teams in the league are going to be eliminated on Wednesday. Benfica has the advantage at home against Braga. But you know that Braga's president, Antonio Salvador, has made it clear he wants this team to win trophies. He does not want to be known as that other team besides the big three. Well, they're going to have an opportunity to try to make Benfica miserable. And so Benfica's got a tough one this week. They got to play Arouca. Then they got to go home and play Braga in the Taça de Portugal. And that is not easy. And then on Thursday, the 11th of January, Santa Clara will be taking on Nacional, the team from the Azores, taking on the team from lovely Madeira. Of course, these two teams are also battling for promotion in the second division. So that is a very, very good match. And then it'll wrap up on Thursday night with Vitória Guimarães taking on Penafiel, two teams from up north. So really, some really good matches in the Liga on the weekend and then in the middle of the week. And by the way, Benfica Braga will also be an RTP International match. So FY for you on that one. Let's go to the second division report. And again, second division looks really good this year, especially with the teams from the island. First off, AVS, managed by Jorge Costa, is in first place with 34 points. Santa Clara sits in second place with 33. Nacional in third with 32 points. And Marítimo still in the hunt to try to finish top three or at least get into the playoff in third place, in fourth place with 26 points. And my favorite club in the second division, Turrientes, basically sitting in fifth place with 24 points, but still much alive to try to get into at least third place. Best match this weekend, I'm going to go with Santa Clara, Mafra, Santa Clara, second place taking on Mafra, seventh place. I think that's probably the match that I think makes the, that's the most exciting this weekend. And the schedule this week is pretty interesting for the second division because you don't have anything on Friday. You have six matches on Saturday, and a lot of this has to do with the Taça de Portugal, and then you have three matches on Sunday. So all match day 16 for the second division all be played across two days. Moving along to women's football, they have been on break for first the international and then, of course, the holidays. They did not play these last two weekends. But they resume match day 10 action of the Liga BPI for women's football. Benfica in first place in women's football with 24 points, Sporting in second with 22, and Braga in third place with 19. And then you have three teams in fourth place, tied with 16 points, Racing Power FC, I love that name, Marítimo and Damiens. And looking at the for this weekend, I think the best match this weekend has got to be basically Damiens, the fourth place team, taking on the third place team, Braga, and everything gets going. Well, the matches this week, one match on Saturday with Turrientes taking on Clube de Albuquerque. Then we'll have three matches on Sunday, led by Damiens Braga. And then the other two matches in this match day 10 are going to actually be played. The Fama Racing Power FC is being played in March. And Atletico Oriente is going to be playing Sporting. And that match will only be played in early May. So I'm not really sure of why. Could be perhaps, I know there's no cup competition going, but looks like only three quarters of the match for match day 16 are going to be played this weekend in Portugal. One other thing about women's football, congratulations to Kika Nazareth, Portugal national team and Benfica striker. She finished as the fifth best scorer in women's football in 2023 with 30 goals for both club and national team action. It's always good to see good news. She is a fantastic talent. She's a very young player, so this is just the beginning. We're going to be hearing a lot of good things about her coming up in the future. Let's move along now to the Liga report, not talking about everything else, but let me go on first. Basically, a very interesting thing. CIES Football Observatory, they are basically a website. They do, obviously, social media where they do a lot of rankings. Signings, player talent, stadiums, revenue. They're one of those analytical, statistical websites, but very, very well respected in the business. And they put out their top 100 most valuable players, and nine Portuguese players were in the top 10. The most valuable Portuguese player, according to them right now, is Rafael Leão with 114 million. He's in 22nd place. In 23rd place is Antonio Silva with 114 million as well. Gonçalo Ramos clocks in next for a Portuguese player in 55th place. He is worth 90.4 million. João Felix is in 56th place overall. He is clocked in his value at 90.3 million. Bruno Fernandes. Bruno, 61st place with 85.5 million. Gonçalo Inácio, who's been mentioned a lot with some Premier League teams and Real Madrid, who are looking for a player in the back. Gonçalo Inácio was listed in 65th place with 84.3 million. João Neves, the young prospect for Benfica, is next best in 75th place. He's valued at 78.9 million. Ruben Dias is 86th place with 76.5 million. And rounding out the Portuguese players, Diego Costa, Porto's goalkeeper, with 73.4 million. So there are nine Portuguese right now listed among the top 100 of the world. I didn't see Cristiano in there, with all due respect. I still think he's worth a little bit of money, that he should be up there. But I did not see his name on that list among the most valuable Portuguese players in the world. Let's talk about other things going on in Portuguese football that doesn't necessarily always involve the top four. Vila Verdense from the second division. Them, along with Torreense, are my favorite club in the second division. Of course, Vila Verdense from the Minho region, beautiful town, Vila Verde. They, of course, won the third division, got promoted to the second division. And they are just, well, let's put it this way. Last year was an incredible season for them to be promoted to the second division. But now in the second division, they are having a very hard time. They sit at the bottom of the second division. Things are going pretty bad for them. Matter of fact, I'm going to look them up right now. 10 points in 15 matches. And the reason why I'm bringing them up is they were one of the clubs about 2 weeks ago that the Liga financial control, salary control, said you got 2 weeks to pay, otherwise you're going to be punished, which in this case is getting point deduction. And apparently, as reports are surfacing on Thursday night, apparently Vila Verdense did not regulate their salaries, did not take care of it, and it looks like they're going to be deducting points. And they only have 10 points, so I'm not really sure. I wouldn't be surprised maybe if they deducted 3 or 6 points, but it's not looking good for Vila Verdense to stay in the second division. I talked about this in the past, you know, yet another example of something that I talk about, and then later on it comes to fruition, and that is the fact that I said that Vila Verdense would have a hard time in the second division. It's not like they have a lot of sponsors. There's a lot of clubs in Minho, a lot of competition for sponsorship dollars. They're playing their games 200 kilometers away from Vila Verde in Coimbra because their stadium is not fit for the top two divisions. So many challenges, it has just not gone right for them, and they are in very big trouble. So I was very, very sad to see that. The Portuguese newspaper O Jogo, a lot of people, of course, will say that that's Porto's main stories. Very interesting thing with O Jogo, the company that owns them is having some serious financial problems. It's the same companies that owned TSF Radio, and apparently salaries haven't been paid for the month of December. And, you know, O Jogo is one of the biggest newspapers in Portugal. A lot of people, if you're Benfica, you don't like them. If you're Sporting, you don't like them. I understand sometimes they're slant toward Porto, but they got some really good stuff there, in my opinion. They are having issues. Their parent company is having issues, so this bears watching. We know Ebola has a new ownership group from Switzerland. They've made a lot of changes with their editorial. So very interesting things happening with two of the three biggest newspapers in Portugal, one having a new owner, and the other one's owner is having a very hard time with some financial issues that bears some watching. 18 days left until the League Cup later this month in Leiria, the Allianz Cup, as it is sponsored. And, of course, as we know, we're going to be seeing some really very good matches coming up later this month in Leiria, but we got plenty of time to talk about that later on this month. The other thing worth mentioning, Thiago Lauri. Remember, he was a Sporting product, went to Reading on loan, also spent some time in Passos de Ferreira on loan, one of those young prospects that just never got the big opportunity, but at one time was considered to be a hot shot. He is back in Portugal, or at least he's been in Portugal, but he has signed a six-month deal with Belenenses of the second division, and he's going to be doing everything he can. Belenenses, of course, is sitting in the relegation zone with only 13 points in 15 matches after, you know, they made this big climb, Belenenses, from the district straight up to the second division, one of the fastest that I've ever seen a club do, but now they're having growing pains in the second division, and it looks like Thiago Lauri has been signed to try to shore up them on the pitch and to try to see what he can do to try to keep them in the second division. Usually a club that gets promoted to the second division, if they're really serious about going even further to the first division, usually it takes them 2 to 3 years to get used to the second division talent, more money, things of that nature, playing under stricter rules, especially with stadiums needing to be in first and second division standards. It's really hard for clubs to just pick up and you know, pick up where they left off in the third division and be as just as successful. It just doesn't always work there. Before I get going for the rest of this episode, let me just remind you, the email, because I've told sometimes I don't do this enough, is forportuguesesoccer.com. And that's if you want to email me with your comments, and I'm going to be reading some comments at the end of this episode, the mailbag edition. Again, it's psoccer@gmail.com. The letter psoccer, C-O-M, short for psoccer.com. @gmail.com, and I encourage you, if you ever want to make comments or criticize anything I said or even correct something I say, you know, please feel free to do that. And also, don't forget the social media, PortugueseSoccer.com. You can find that on Twitter, Facebook, Portuguese_soccer_noticias on Instagram. And we also have a Threads account as well under the same name, Portuguese_soccer_noticias. And of course, we've got this podcast. If you're listening to it for the first time, welcome. And whether you listen for 10 minutes or the whole episode, please give us a follow, give us a like, a comment. And on Spotify, Google Podcast, iTunes, Podcast Addict, and also, I know a lot of people have been shifting over there. I've also put up the audio on YouTube. Nothing video yet. In terms of the podcast, but certainly the audio can be found there as well. Let's move on to the second half of this episode. Let me start off first with the Player Abroad Report. Congratulations to Vitinha, Nuno Mendes, and Danilo for winning the French Super Cup. Congratulations to Jorge Jesus, JJ, one of my favorite managers. I know a lot of you are not fond of him. He won his third straight Manager of the Month award in Saudi Arabia. And all the people that don't like him, he's having major success. He's making more money than some of us will in a lifetime. Things are going really well for JJ. Big news with Thiago Pinto, the former Benfica administrator. He's been at Roma the last 3 years. He brought Mourinho there. He brought Rui Patricio there, Dybala. He's brought a lot of good players to Roma. Of course, they've played in a few European Cups, like the Europa League. But Thiago Pinto, you know, I know the club is having some financial issues. When he was first hired, a lot of people were surprised. They thought at Benfica it was really Rui Costa making all the big moves. But Thiago Pinto, I think, has done a pretty good job at Roma. But he is leaving at the end of the transfer window. They're going to part ways. Gelson Martins, of course, former Sporting product, went to Monaco. He hasn't played a lot since last spring. And he's going on loan to join Carlos Carvajal at Olympiacos in Greece. Of course, Carvajal making news with the players that he knows in Portugal. He's already got Daniel Podence. He's got Penetra. He got Fran Navarro from Porto. Of course, Fran Navarro, from what I've been told, didn't acknowledge Porto in his introductory press conference, which upset some people. And now Carlos Carvajal at Olympiacos is trying to get David Carmo, which I'll talk about in a few minutes when I get to Porto. But that's Thiago Pinto moving on. And believe me, he's going to get a job very quickly with the fact that he has Benfica and Roma on his resume. Ricardo Sapinto, remember him? He continues to do very well in Cyprus with Apoel. They continue to put together a lot of results. So Ricardo Sapinto, a lot of people don't like his very energetic style on the sidelines. Well, he's still that type of person, and he's doing very well in Cyprus. Fabio Carvalho, don't know if I should be talking about him. Some people don't like it when I do because he decided not to represent Portugal, if I remember. But Fabio Carvalho wasn't getting a lot of time at RB Leipzig in Germany, and he has been recalled back to Liverpool. Big win this week for Nuno Espírito Santo since taking over as manager of Nottingham Forest, defeating Bruno Fernandes and United. It was something like Nottingham's first win over United in something like 20 years. So that was some really big news. Bruno Fernandes continues to be one of the better players. You know, it's funny, when I look at social media about Bruno Fernandes, I see a lot of people that like him, and then there's a lot of people that just think he's a waste. There's nobody in the middle. You either hate him or like him, but I think he's doing a pretty good job, in my opinion, for whatever it's worth. And by the way, that's all this is in this podcast, my friends. It's my opinion for whatever it's worth. I think it's worth something. Thank you very much. But let's keep going here. José Mourinho has been in the news, being linked with the Brazilian national team job. If I'm Mourinho, if he was going to take a national team job, he should have taken Portugal, you know, earlier this year. I mean, obviously, we know Portugal instead went for Roberto Martinez. But as much as Brazil automatically puts you in a position to at least reach the semifinals, if I'm Mourinho, man, stick it out in Roma. You're happy there. They like you. They'll probably love you in Brazil, but I just think for me, you still got some more club football in you before you just permanently do national team stuff. João Cancelo suffered an ankle injury as I'm recording this episode. We continue to wish him well. He's been doing very well with Barcelona. And also need to give a shout out to Paulo Bernardo, who's been doing very, very well with Celtic. Scored a big goal this past week. Moving on to the Big Four report. Sporting, so apparently he used to play for Chelsea. I don't know much about him. But someone named Glenn Johnson basically called out Sporting's Swedish striker. Basically, as you know, he's getting a lot of, Jokeres is getting a lot of interest from Premier League teams. And basically, Glenn Johnson was saying, look, last year he was playing in the championship, the second division in England, and he wasn't tearing it up, scoring 30 goals. Now he goes to Portugal, and he's just a brilliant star. But yet, when he was in England in the second division, he wasn't doing all that great. And he is advising Chelsea not to go after after the Swedish striker, which I found surprising, because how many players leave Portugal and do so well when they go to a big European club? I mean, you know, to me, the success rate, this is not scientific, I'd say 70% of the players that move on to big clubs do very, very well. In other words, they're not flops. So I'm very surprised to hear this, but Jokeres has done very well with Sporting, but there are some people that are still doubting him, so we'll see. Jokeres, by the way, has a $100 million price tag, and there's no doubt that when he gets sold, and I don't think he's going to be sold in January. Sporting's not that crazy. Sporting wants to win the Liga, and not just win the Liga. They want to finish in first place, because only one team automatically goes to the Champions League next year. Second place has to go through the playoffs, and Sporting's not going to sell them. But when they do next summer, and I think it'll be for a lot of money, the Sporting record is 65 million. I think Jokeres might break that. Again, he's got his release clause at 100 million. I don't know if anyone's going to spend 100 million on him, only 1 year in Portugal, but certainly they're going to come close, probably maybe 70 or 80 million. Jokeres, of course, has been outstanding for Sporting, 6 goals and 3 assists in his last 6 league matches. Sporting in first place, but again, they got that really, really tough match coming up with Estoril Praia. Gonçalo Esteves, of course, Tomás Esteves, the brothers, Arcus de Valdevez products, by the way. But Gonçalo Esteves is being loaned out to a club in Holland to try to get some more minutes and to play some serious football out there. Moving on to Porto, of course, the big story with Porto is David Carmo is being looked at by Olympiacos. Olympiacos, I already told you, already has a lot of Portuguese flavor on it. This would be a good, I tell you what, if I'm Porto, I do this, because this kid needs to play. He needs to be playing 90 minutes every week. He needs to go through the ups and downs of a player. Not as soon as he has a bad match, he's set down by Porto or sent to the B team. Maybe he'll regain his confidence playing for a Portuguese manager in Greece for one of Greece's biggest clubs, Olympiacos. I like this move. I think there's a purchase option of like 15 or 16 million, which means that Porto would lose money on the deal, because I think they bought him for Braga for like something like 22 million. So Porto would, you know, at least they would get some money. But I think Porto will probably just kind of study how he does at Olympiacos if this deal comes through. Porto, by the way, Sergio Conceição was asked about the fact that, you know, there's been about $45 million invested in players such as Carmo, Navarro, Nico Gonzalez, Gabriel Veron, who just got loaned out to a club in Brazil. And they haven't had a lot of investment coming back to them. It hasn't been working. And a club like Porto, as you know, it's kind of had some financial issues, especially with financial fair play in the past. They cannot afford to be wasting that type of money and not getting a return. But that is something very, very concerning for Porto. Benfica, of course, they signed Marcos Leonardo from Santos. It's very interesting. Whenever a player gets signed by a Portuguese club, the press talk it up. They're at the airport waiting for him to arrive. Will Marcos Leonardo give Benfica the goals, you know, that they've been missing on a consistent basis ever since Gonçalo Ramos went to PSG? I think Petar Musa, if he played more often, could fit the bill, but he seems to, you know, I don't know. Even though he scores, he just doesn't seem to score enough for Roger Schmidt, but whatever. But Marcos Leonardo, will he solve Benfica's problems? Well, he's going to be playing soon enough. We'll find out. Di Maria, reports say he may be returning to finish his career with Rosario in his native Argentina, his youth club. Di Maria's had a fantastic career, and he deserves to go out on a high. Antonio Silva report, I think it was in the Sun, that Chelsea were looking to offer $60 million to get him in this transfer window. Don't forget, Porto had an awful Champions League campaign. They're only going to be making half the money. You know, last year they made something like $80 million in Europe. This year, with UEFA and everything, they're only going to be making 40-something. Selling a player, or a good player, in the January window will help them make up the money they lost. But I think Benfica wants a little bit more than $60 million that Chelsea are offering. But again, is it worth to get a player, a defender, for $60 million? We'll see. Rafa, apparently, of course, he's in the final 6 months of his contract. He hinted that he would be leaving. But on New Year's Day, some of the press was reporting that he took out his Benfica stuff from his Instagram account. You don't see any pictures of him at Benfica, at least last time I checked, and that is noticeable. It is very, very noticeable. A lot of people criticize the Portuguese press for reporting that type of stuff, but with all due respect, it is something worthy of reporting because he plays for Benfica. He did have stuff there. Now he doesn't anymore, per report. So it's worth the attention, and as a result, he got some attention with that. Rafa does appear to be that he will leave unless Benfica and Rafa come to a deal on a renewal. But the deal apparently, the issue apparently is that Rafa just wants a lot of money that Benfica just doesn't want to pay at this time. And wrapping up the Big Four report, Braga, Rodrigo Gomes, who's been brilliant at Estoril, is reportedly going to be going to Wolves. I had somebody reach out to me that does one of the big Wolves fan accounts, and he was asking me what I thought about this player. And I said that Gomes is a great player. He's a great young talent. My only thing with him is he ready to go to the Premier League and contribute right away? Because if he was, he would not have left Braga to be loaned in the first place. Because Braga, look at the team they had this year. And if he was good enough with the team they had, he wouldn't have been loaned out to Estoril. So I just hope this isn't another situation of a young player being sold or going on loan with a purchase option and maybe just going a little bit too soon. Estoril is on fire. This kid is a big reason. It would be tough if he would be sold. But again, you'd be happy for him. He'd be playing in the Premier League. It's a dream for any player. But is this the time for him? That is the biggest question to ask with him. Let's move on and talk about my favorite club in Portugal, my hometown club from the fifth tier, Atlético dos Arcos, who now lead by 7 points in their division, looking to get promoted to the fourth tier. If you're brand new, I have a dream to follow my club from the bottom and hopefully make it up to the second or third division. Third division will probably be enough for them, financially speaking. But I have a dream, and I want to see them climb. The way people want to see Wrexham climb in England, in Wales, I want to see this club climb in Portugal. Big win last week, 3-1. We now sit with a 7-point lead, 40 points, 7-point lead over Munsong, which played to a draw last week. So Atlético dos Arcos, 40 points, Munsong, 33, Cardinho Lins in third place with 32, and Valenciano in fourth place with 30. So right now, again, only one team gets promoted. Right now we're sitting there with a 7-point lead. Last year we had a 5-point lead in January, and we had problems. And it disappeared fast. This year, we managed to be leading by 7 points in January. Now we've got to hold it. We got a big, big match this weekend taking on. Well, actually, let me say this. It's always a big match, but this week we're taking on one of the teams that's at the bottom of the table, ADC Coreia. And we're going to be traveling to play them. Munsong is going to be playing Vitorino de Piões. And by the way, Ponte Barca, our rival club, sitting in fifth place, 14 points behind us. Suckers. They continue to drag. So, again, I'm happy. Here we are in January. We just got to avoid the problems that we did last year. But my dream, we're sitting with a 7-point cushion to try to see them if they can get to the fourth tier. And then when we get to the fourth tier, we'll worry about that next year. But so far, this is a club, by the way, that every year finishes top two in this 18-team table. They always manage to finish top two the last 3 or 4 years, but they just never finish first. They're that close because they're really not a club for the fifth tier. This club, Atlético dos Arcos, when it's going well, could be in the third tier. My only disappointment with Arcos is I keep emailing them, asking why they don't put, even if it's not on YouTube, maybe it's on their website page or maybe on their, even their Facebook. That's where everybody gets the information from. They never answer me. But I still love you. I still love you because you're in first place. But one day I'm going to get an explanation about why they don't bother to put the, I mean, remember, this is fifth tier. This is what they call non-professional football. Why they don't put the games. Somebody told me they think it's because they don't want to, if they put the games, then people don't have to pay in town and therefore they'll lose tickets. Because remember, it's fifth tier. It's, they don't have a lot of sponsorship. I could see if it was that point. But I think if they grow their fan base by putting it on video, I think it would be better. Again, we're talking about the home games, not the road games, because they don't have the rights to the road games. Final edition here of the mailbag as I wrap up this episode. And again, if you want to send me comments, you want to send me questions, you want to correct me, or you want to just say anything, I encourage you to basically email me at psoccercom@gmail.com or hit me up or DM me on the Twitter account or Instagram account, whatever it is, PortugueseSoccer.com, and I will be happy to answer. So I got three this week. First off is from a good friend, Neil from Toronto. Toronto, awesome. A lot of Portuguese in Toronto. It's one of those cities that doesn't get mentioned a lot, but I've been going to Toronto. I went to Toronto my first time about 20 years ago, and I couldn't believe how many Portuguese people, especially, there used to be a thing in Toronto. They don't, not anymore because Benfica moved to this other place, but I think it was in Rogers Road or Avenue where the Benfica Casa and the Porto Casa were separated by like a building in between them, all on this road. And whenever there would be a Benfica Porto match, that was always a very interesting street to be on. I've actually been there to each of those clubs, went once to Porto, had something to eat there, went once to Benfica's club. Benfica has since moved to another place. I know they're not on that street anymore. But Toronto, lots of great Portuguese people up there. One of them is Neil. Johnny, the Liga should play, and by the way, this is because I had asked last week, should Portuguese teams be playing during the holidays to get more attention? Johnny, the Liga should play New Year's Day, New Year's Eve, even Boxing Day. It's a good way to grow the league and brand. Why can't we have a Lisbon Derby Classic or even Super Cup during these days? Yeah, it'd be great. They could even maybe consider doing the Super Cup. Hey, next year or in 2 years when Porto and Benfica go to play in that FIFA Club Cup, they're going to be playing their matches in June. That means the Liga season, you've heard this here first, can't start on time in early August because, you know, those players are going to need a rest. They're going to want at least, you know, a month of preseason. So I think it hasn't been discussed a lot in Europe, but those matches are going to have to be pushed a little bit later. I say take the Super Cup that year in 2025 and put it New Year's Day, New Year's Eve, maybe Christmas Eve during the afternoon. Why not? But the point is I would like to see that because I respect the fact that people want to enjoy the holidays. But if you're a player, you're not going to be a player forever. You know, you're still going to be able to see your family that day. I just think from a marketing point of view, it's a good idea. But again, this is all an opinion of mine. Nobody cares. Not that to a lot of people in Portugal, they think it's great. But that's what I would do. If I was owner of a team in Assad, I would do everything I can to have my team playing on Boxing Day or New Year's Eve. And hey, if I'm the only team match that's playing, you know what? More people are paying attention to me. So yeah, I kind of agree there. Next Hartford is in the States. Gerald from Hartford, Connecticut. Big fan of your podcast. I've been listening to it for the last 2 years. Really like your opinion and how honest you are. And I want to ask you to please continue with the good work. I have a question about Boavista or if this were to happen in any club. What happens if a club goes bankrupt in the middle of the season? How can they have the money to continue? Great question, Gerald. A lot of leagues, and I don't know if this is the case with Portugal, have a system in place where they would probably have to take over the club financially just to make sure that they finish the season. I don't know if that's the case in Portugal, but if something really, really bad were to go happen and a club just couldn't pay their players and it's January and they haven't been paid in 3 months and, you know, they shut off the water, they shut off the gas, I mean, and there's no hope, something would have to step in because otherwise you would lose, there would be one last match per week. And, you know, that could affect the clubs. That could affect the schedule down the stretch with one team maybe having a less easier match. You know, let's say the big three, there's a big race. One of them the last two or three matches this season. They don't have a match. That could be better for them. I don't know if they have to play one less match, less pressure. I don't know. It wouldn't be a good thing. But I would assume that there would be some type of mechanism with the Liga that would step in to make sure that the Liga would basically be able to keep the team going until at least the end of the season. Again, I'm not sure, but one has to, from a common sense perspective, think that that would be the case. Next up is Simoes from Philadelphia. I get a lot of people from the States. Thank you. And by the way, you Europeans, Australians, come on. I want to hear more from you, especially from Asia. Simoes, great podcast. Been listening to it since episode one about 4 years ago. Really appreciate your comments. While I don't always agree with it, I really enjoy just listening to a podcast about Portuguese football. Let me ask you a question. Tickets to the League Cup at the end of the month. I'm going to be in Portugal and I'll be in Lady Area. How does one get tickets? Well, let me just say this. It's done through the Liga. So if you go to the Liga website, you should be able to get information. The good news that I've seen about the League Cup is I don't know if they sell it out 100%. So if you're ever going to go see a big match, Braga, Benfica, in this case, Benfica, you know, Braga, Sporting, Estoril, if you want to see a big match, this is a great opportunity to do it, especially any of the matches, with the exception of the Taça de Portugal final. A lot of the Taça de Portugal matches do very well. There's a lot of tickets available compared to, let's say, the Liga. That's not to say that you're not going to have great seats, but tickets are better available than they are if it's a Liga match, based on my understanding of it. So you got to go to the Liga website. They sell the tickets. I don't know about Portugal. I don't know if they have a SeatGeek or whatever it is, the Ticketmaster of Portugal, like we do here in North America, but I'm sure there is some type of service. But if you basically go to the Liga website, they're very good. And if you email them, they're very good about getting back to you. After all, they want your money. They want you to be at the games. They want to celebrate this this competition, which, by the way, I'm a big fan of. That would be my advice. If you continue to have issues, Simoes, email me back, and I'll try to see if maybe I can find some information from you. Anyway, folks, that wraps up episode 204 of the PortugueseSoccer.com podcast. Here we are in 2024. And as I always say, please take care of yourselves. Please take care of your families. And I'll talk to you next week. Ciao, everybody.